With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Been hearing a lot of stuff about him leaving Golden State and going to New York. It's true. Ladies and gentlemen, from everything that I've heard, it's about a 95% possibility him and Kyrie going to New York City. Ain't 100%, because if you know anything about Kevin Durant's temperament, ain't 100%, but it's pretty done. It's pretty close to done. And I don't want to hear about Kyrie staying in Boston. He ain't staying in Boston. Stop that nonsense. He's out.
All right, that's Stephen A. Smith. That was from May the 10th. Now, 95%, not 100%, not 100%, but 95% is a high percentage, right? You're pretty much saying that it's there, okay? He's done skiing Boston. That's what he pretty much said for you there. But 95% in Boston. Now, that was Stephen A., and he was going to the Knicks along with Kevin Durant.
95%.
95%.
And how much run did he get from that?
He got a lot of run. You know, when people saying, oh, he's credible. Oh, it's Stephen
95%.
A.
95%. Kyrie's going to New York.
95. And yet, last night he was doing a final special on ESPN, and he totally changed his mind.
I have learned that Kyrie Irving has given every indication to the Brooklyn Nets that that is where he wants to go, not the New York Knicks. As a result of Kyrie Irving, if indeed, because I don't know, I have not spoken to Kyrie Irving, have not spoken to Kevin Durant, let me be very, very clear. If he decides to go to Brooklyn, KD ain't interested in going to Brooklyn. And as a result, the belief is that KD will either go to New York without him, convince him to come to New York, or settle for somebody like a Kemba Walker, or KD may decide to stay in Golden State. Oh. If they win the finals, he leaves. If they lose, he stays.
And you know what he's, doing? Right. He's so full of it right now.
He's covering every single base,
We said this,
he
too.
He just sits on that stage
and
lives for, like, the...
the moment.
Moment.
Oh, that's all it is.
Yay! Tell me more, Stephen!
You know what he is?
How inconsistent has this guy been? Just not with just these stories. Just a week or two ago, 95% is going to New York. Now he's here and he's going to Brooklyn. In a week, it'll be L.A.
It'll be somewhere else.
And then just all the factual things he's gotten wrong over the last couple of months.
Jeff Passan, having said all of that, we look at other individuals. A Mike Socha, for example, entering his 19th season.
Well, Socha is gone, actually. Brad Ausmus is the manager.
I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot about that.
It's been going on for so long.
But you know what he is? He's one of those guys. He's a victim of the moment. We talk about it with fans, and fans get all carried away from a game. The last guy that talks into his ear says something, and he just goes with it. And the thing is that how do you go from 95%? 95%, it's him and Kevin Durant.
He's on 100.
Right. But not to now, Kyrie's going to the Brooklyn Nets, and oh yeah, by the way, Kevin Durant is not going with him. They're separating. He's going to New York, or he's going back to Golden State.
He threw some hot sauce on a guy in Brooklyn that said that we've talked to Kyrie, and he's given us every indication he's interested.
Of course he's interested.
No kidding.
It's going to open the door to everybody.
He's open to.
It's called leverage,
Mike. Let me ask you, Phil, 3 years ago, if you asked somebody in Boston, in the higher-ups, is Kevin Durant interested in coming to Boston, how close do you think that got to being done?
I think it got closer than people think, because they believed it. Now, maybe Kevin Durant didn't believe it, but he engaged in the conversations.
And 100%.
Basketball Insider, according to people, multiple sources, it was really close to the point where I think a lot of people thought they had him.
They did. Celtics
so,
did.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah. KD interested.
Right. I'm hearing.
So, yeah. So, he's going to the point where someone in Brooklyn said, Kyrie's really interested in joining our team. Okay,
of course.
So there he goes.
So what is this video going around? I see about him back in New Jersey or wherever it is. He's like in some neighborhood walking around.
He bought a house there. He's from there.
Okay,
that doesn't mean anything. By the way, reporters should know better. You guys tell me. Reporters should know better. When these guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars, because they buy a house in Jersey because that's where they're from. It does not necessarily mean they're going to stay there for their job. Matter of fact, these guys have three and four houses. It's not like
depends
they're buying
on where
one
it is.
House.
I'm just saying. That's like just where? Saying, I don't know. Let's just say you found out Kyrie bought like a $6 million mansion in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, that's different.
That's a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you'd be like, hold on. Nobody does that.
I heard Kyrie Irving's moving into Prince's mansion, actually.
There you go. No, but Northern...
How far away
But Northern Jersey, when he actually has family
well, that's
there,
where he's from.
Maybe, right. So maybe
where's
he's buying
50
it for,
Cent live?
He might be buying it for family members. Yeah. I don't know if you know, but athletes do this because they make so much money, they buy it for family members.
Kawhi, even up in Toronto, they're talking about that, whatever. Toronto's a beautiful city. I wouldn't mind having a crib up in Toronto.
And they're going to give him. They're going to give him a free condo.
No, I'm saying he could buy a place up in Toronto because he loves the city. But he wants to live in L.A. He wants to play in L.A. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. And it really is. And it's been proven over the years, if you look at it. Guys buy these houses all the time. By the way, in this real estate market right now, they can sell those houses. So they can move on and maybe even make a profit. Even though they've only owned the house for like 6-8 months, they can make money on it. But here's where I think he's coming from. And this is where I think Stephen A. is a little bit disingenuous. And at one, I think a lot of people are looking at perception with Kevin Durant. So if Golden State loses this series to Toronto, he would look great if he came back to Golden State because they couldn't win without him. So now his ego is satisfied, right? And if they win without him, why does he want to go back there? Because nobody's going to look that they need Kevin Durant. They want a championship without him. And if they ever win this one, with Klay Thompson injured, with Looney out, with all of these guys, that Iguodala playing on one leg, this would be remarkable.
I think the only thing
and it would be a killer for Kevin Durant.
KD in Golden State, I don't even know if that even has anything to do with it, is if it's really a torn Achilles. They keep messing around with this thing. Strictly because a team, I still think the team like the Knicks would give him that a max deal, knowing they might not have much of him next year.
I agree.
But I think he's gone no matter what. Because if they win, his ego's destroyed. Right?
It's bad.
If they win without him, he's just like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
If they lose, at least he might feel better about himself, but if he walks, he's like, yeah, see, all you people that thought you couldn't win with me, good luck. I'm out of here.
So here's where I think there's still a chance when everybody is already dismissing that Boston is out in all of this. Because I think Stephen A. might be looking at the Brooklyn thing and be looking at Brooklyn looking to acquire Anthony Davis. Now, Shams Charania of The Athletic, he's been pretty good at this stuff. He's got a whole piece that what's happening now is the Pelicans have sat down and they have talked to Rich Paul. Now, remember who Rich Paul is. He's LeBron's agent, okay? He's got a connection to all this, and he's representing Anthony Davis. And they've pretty much come to an agreement, according to Shams, that he's not staying there. Even though they get the number one pick and they got Zion, he doesn't want to stay there. He doesn't want to be with a rebuilding team. He wants to be traded away.
Gone.
So David Griffin is being smart. He's a good personnel guy. If you start looking at some of the people he's hired here in the last few weeks, he's hiring good, experienced NBA people. And what he's doing is he's looking and searching out and talking to teams. So he's talking to Boston right now. He's talking to LA. He's doing due diligence. And from what you read in this piece, he's talking to the Brooklyn Nets. So if you're Kyrie, are you not going to say to the Brooklyn Nets, yeah, he's one of my best friends. You get Anthony Davis? Yeah, I'd be interested in going to Brooklyn. Does that mean he's going to go to Brooklyn? In the same respect that if KD wanted to go to New York, he might have. Kyrie might have showed some interest, but 95% sure? 95% sure. That's a ridiculous statement to make back in May the 10th. And then back out of it now and throw Brooklyn in there. And I think the only reason he's doing it is because Brooklyn is interested in Anthony Davis. Why would Kyrie go to Brooklyn with that cast of characters?
He's not going to.
They were an overachieving team last year.
No, I mean, D'Angelo Russell's restricted, and there's interest in him everywhere.
Yep.
But if you're the Nets, I mean, if you don't get Kyrie, you're gonna pay D'Angelo Russell whatever he wants, given the year he had, right? So it's like you're gonna decide on what you're gonna do with this guy first. You're gonna move on from him. You're not gonna keep both of them.
And when you were talking about ego, can I tell you that would be the dumbest place he could go to? Because Russell was tremendous last year, and he was one of the reasons that team vastly overachieved. You take him out of the equation, put Kyrie in there, there's not enough help around that rest of that roster, and they fail miserably
D'Angelo
next year.
Was better last year.
Yep. What do you think Kyrie's image is going to be a year from now? And he's going to be doing it in a in the number one market in the country.
You know what it looks
That's
like?
A dumb place to go. You better really be feeling that you can pull it off.
Yeah. So Danny Ainge, earlier in the year, came out and talked about the engagement, talked about
the marriage,
right? So we're basically engaged.
Yeah.
So he talked. And so this one kind of threw me a little bit, because if I was in this situation, I would have said, yeah, the marriage is still on. But he didn't necessarily say that.
What was the exit interview like with Kyrie?
It's good.
Oh. I remember a few months ago you talked about you can't do anything until obviously free agency starts. Mm-hmm. You used the analogy kind of like that's when you can kind of have the wedding, if you will. Mm-hmm. Is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I can say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Okay. But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
Okay.
So am I reading too much into that?
No, I don't feel good about hearing any of that. I mean, if you want Kyrie here, I don't think you feel good about that.
No, because, you know, what's the difference between now and, you know, early in the year? He's basically still a Celtic. Free agency hasn't begun yet. You still own his rights, well, technically. Like, you know,
how did the I think Sherrod,
so you can
was
say
probably,
anything you want.
Sherrod was probably looking for more from the exit interview.
Yeah.
What was the exit interview like with Kyrie?
It's good.
Okay, thanks. Next question.
Well, that was a good. The next one was perfect for me because, all right, you said you were. It's basically like an engagement. You guys are basically married. You're just waiting till I'm done with classes in the summer, and then we're gonna go run off and get married.
See, I'm with you. Do you think Danny, if he was 100% convinced that Kyrie was coming back, that nothing has changed, don't you think he kind of laugh at that and just sort of be like, yeah, nothing's changed?
No.
So everybody,
because I'll tell you what I'm hearing, not confirmed, but I'm hearing, is that the Celtics are very leery about saying anything right now about Kyrie because they're afraid of how it's going to be dealt with, especially when it goes out to the media.
Well, we know he does not like people talking about his future.
Correct. They know that. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep any conversation about him to a minimum. And I hate to say it, but that's a smart thing to do right now. We already know he's a little shaky.
He's so offended by people telling him where he's going to go and where he's going to end up, to the point where he sits there and says, you know what? They got people sending me out to L.A. with LeBron. They got people having me go to New York. They have people going. I'm going to Brooklyn. No one's mentioned me coming back to Boston. I like that. I'm going to go back to Boston. Like, you see that?
Yeah.
Crazy? Because we know how much he gets offended when people start talking about his future. That was the whole thing in the Madison Square Garden when people started talking about him and KD at the All-Star game with him and KD in the hallway. That offends him.
So you
people
got a
talking
guy
about where his future is going to be, where he's supposed to be.
So this is a guy that wanted to get away from LeBron because he wanted it to be his team. He's a guy that when he sat down with the Celtics and earlier in the season, when he was optimistic and he told the crowd that he was coming back, if you'll have me, had conversations with the Celtics in which they were helping him advance his brand. Mm-hmm. They were talking to him about his movies and everything else. So they were engaging in all of this stuff. Now suddenly all of this stuff happens during the season. And I think you're right. I think he just, you never know what he's going to say next. So it's best not to engage him in any of this stuff, not to create any of it. And there's another piece out today, SNY.com. Ian Begley has got a piece, pending free agent Kyrie Irving likely to leave Celtics. But if you're Danny Ainge, why do you want to open the door? Why do you want to do the opposite and say, no, he's going to stay here? You know that all this is going to do is piss him off, and you don't want to piss him off. All right, we'll get to the phone calls, and we'll start talking a little bit more about this. And you'll hear a little bit more from Danny Ainge. I thought he had an interesting thing to say about Rozier as well. We'll get to all of that in your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
You know, the first thing I would say about the whole Kyrie thing, I mean, I just think it's unfortunate that, you know, one person gets credit or blame for team's failures. I mean, we had a lot of reasons why the team did not succeed this year, and Kyrie deserves his share of the blame, but not any more than anybody else. There's a lot of guys that, you know, didn't handle things the right way and make the sacrifices that needed to be done for the benefit of the team. They're all going to learn from it, including Kyrie. He's still a young player, and I think that Kyrie's going to even come back better next year.
That's Danny Ainge. Why is he saying that? He's right, by the way. Kyrie was part of it, but Kyrie became the face of the team's underachieving and failure this year. And I think the reason Danny's doing it is that's the stumbling block right now. That Kyrie is not happy that he was the face of all of this. That he's taking a lot of the heat. And we hear it. We go to the phone calls. What do we get? Everybody's blaming Kyrie. Nobody blames anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly don't blame Al Horford for anything. He never gets blamed. Yeah. But it's all Kyrie. And I think Danny knows that's a stumbling block for him in getting Kyrie back here, because Kyrie probably is sitting there saying to him, why am I taking all the crap?
Well, I mean, right. He would do that. He would take all the crap anywhere he went.
Yes, if you're the star, that's what happens.
Yeah, okay, but I see, and maybe he's just not comfortable. Maybe that's the most important thing for the Celtics is not only to keep Kyrie Irving, but to make sure you get one other guy that has just as much status and credibility. You don't need to have
that's
a final. You don't have to have a championship. You don't have to have a ring.
Right.
You know, I always thought it was always interesting when other high-profile, successful, popular players came onto the Patriots staff, came onto the Patriots roster. Guys like, you know, Randy Moss, so you can go through the list. And they were so different because they didn't have to be number one. They didn't have to carry the load because Tom did. Tom took all the beating and he gave all the praise. And it was so much easier for them to just kind of, assimilate into the locker room.
The other thing, too, is you can kind of like, you know, organically, it can still become your team.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, if Anthony Davis jumped on a team with, you know, with Kyrie and Al, you know, and Gordon Hayward is still going to be trying to find himself, he just sort of blend in. Now, maybe the second half of the season, you see the leadership of a guy like Anthony Davis, but he doesn't have to come in day one, you know what I mean, as that superstar, which he is. We know he'd be the best player on the team. But there's others there that have had experience or, that you know, second-team All-NBA like Kyrie Irving. So it makes it a lot easier for him to come into it, and I think it'll take a little bit off of Kyrie as well.
See, I think it's interesting that all of these writers, and I just mentioned this other guy, Begley, who's out there basically saying Kyrie's going to leave, but they're doing that with every one of these guys that are free agents. I think in the end, you're going to find more of them are going to stay with their team than leave. For an example, it would not surprise me at all if Leonard ends up staying in Toronto. Kemba Walker. Let's give an example, because Stephen A. mentioned Kemba Walker going to Brooklyn,
He's a consolation prize.
I would not be shocked at all, surprised at all. Matter of fact, I'd be surprised if he actually left. I think he stays with Charlotte because he can get the five-year deal. He made All-Pro this year, the All-NBA team. He can get himself $221
million.
$221 million to stay.
To me, it's a
big, huge difference for him.
Or 4 years to leave.
To leave.
4 years, whatever.
$80 million less.
A lot of money.
A lot of money to give up.
Follow the money.
Jimmy Butler. You're already hearing that he likes Philadelphia. He's thinking about staying. I think that a lot of these writers, they're playing into what the guys are doing, what the agents are doing. The agents are trying to create leverage. They're trying to get their guys three or four different
opportunities. Are trying to convince themselves and others that they got a shot.
Like Brooklyn. Yep.
Telling Stephen A.
Yep.
He's giving us every indication. Because he even said, I haven't talked to Kyrie, so who'd he talk to?
Brooklyn.
Of course, Brooklyn. Yeah, listen, he'd love to come to us.
Do you believe him?
Believe who?
Believe Stephen A.
No.
I don't.
No, here's what I believe.
I believe people are telling him that.
No, I believe he's hearing it from somebody. But as I said, the last person, how do you believe him when 3 weeks ago he was telling his 95% that he and Kevin Durant are going, and now he's talking about the possibility of Durant staying in Golden State, but Durant's not going to go with Kyrie. Well, what happened suddenly?
Yeah, when somebody
and
says
this is going to change again.
When somebody says, I believe, or I'm hearing that people in the organization believe, That is those people's a personal opinion based on their experience and relationship with that player. Hey, listen, based on, I believe he's still into it. Well, have you talked? No, I know him, And I believe this is the way, and this is what he would do based on my experience with him.
I think 95% of the stuff you hear right now is crap. I'm not saying it's made up. It is purposely put
except
out there.
When it comes to hockey talk,
Dunsky. But it's negotiating ploys. You don't think that part of this stuff right now is that guys are talking out there, agents and teams are throwing crap against the wall.
Crap.
That's what they're doing. All right, let's get to the phone calls. Here's Paul in Northampton. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Paul.
So I know, Christian, you've been talking about the whole money thing with Kyrie, and I think we're missing something that is going to probably happen down the road. So we know we can do the 4 years, 144, if he goes somewhere else. And he can do the 5-189 that's here. That roughly is $36 million a year to $37.5 million. Well, in 2 years, he's going to be eligible for that 10-year veteran maximum.
35%.
He's probably going to opt out wherever he is after 2 years.
They all are.
And re-sign for a max then. So let's say he goes to New York, he's going to lose $4 million over the next 2 years, and then he'll be able to make that Supermax deal anyways.
Right.
So if he's that unhappy with being here, we know Kyrie will find a way to justify whatever move he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go to one of these teams knowing that, you know what, I'm still going to make bank in a couple years and get my 5 years anyways.
Yeah. You know, I'm just looking up there. What is this stupid show? Get up, get down.
That would be
High Noon starts at four.
So the High Noon it starts at four. The headline is Stephen A. Smith says Kyrie Irving plans on committing to the Nets.
They used a different word now.
Now did you hear that? Because isn't that very different? Can we play the Stephen A. stuff? Play what Stephen A. said, because plans on committing to the Nets is not what I heard. I heard like he's actually he could be interested in us.
I have learned that Kyrie Irving has given every indication to the Brooklyn Nets that is where he wants to go, not the New York Knicks. As a result of Kyrie Irving, if indeed, because I don't know, I have not spoken to Kyrie Irving, have not spoken to Kevin Durant, let me be very, very clear. If he decides to go to Brooklyn,
all right, KD,
given every indication,
that's where he wants to go. Yeah, so I guess it is the same. I just don't believe that. I think it's coming from.
Well, that's a little misleading when they say it that way. Plans on committing. They can't. July 1st comes around. He's committing. He's going to throw away his engagement. I don't buy it. I saw the headline too, and I can't wait for them all to be wrong.
Yeah, but I can't wait for them. We'll turn on Stephen A.
But
all I can tell you is the people that I talk to. That's all I can tell you. Maybe you get bad information. But things have changed. I told you things have changed, okay? I can't get in the mind of Kyrie Irving.
So technically, I'm not right. I'm right or wrong. I don't know. They're going to be wrong. I think it's really simple.
Guys, I'm telling you, this is no different than other years when you get stuff like this. If you're Kyrie Irving and you've got a huge ego and you want to be able to control your situation in Boston, where you're the one that tells Danny Ainge who he's going to play with, and the players have control in the league. We're going to get into that in a few minutes, because now they want to change what they call the people they work for. We'll get into that in a second. But if you want to do that, the best way of doing it is to create leverage, to get Danny Ainge thinking that I might go to Brooklyn. You know what? I might go to the Knicks. You know what? I might go elsewhere. And everybody is doing it right now. That last caller is absolutely correct. So that if you can get a 10-year experience, then, and you've been on the all-NBA team here twice, I think, then you have the opportunity now to go out and get 35% of the team that you're on of their cap number. So now you're into the 40s, 45 million, something like that. Now you're really into big, big, huge money, up to high 40s. And so, yeah, but every player's doing that. Any guys that sign any contracts right now, there are going to be opt-outs for that year when they suddenly achieve that goal, because they want to sit there and say, pay me. And if you're with that team, I have the right as that team to go over the cap number to be able to pay you $45 million a year. So every player is going to do that. Every agent's going to tell a player, right? This is what we're doing. We're not signing for 5 years with Boston. We're signing with 2 years. That's why I don't have a problem bringing Anthony Davis in here for 1 year. Because if he signs with Boston or someone else, he's only going to sign for 2 years. It'll be a five-year deal, but he'll have an opt-out after a year or two.
But the other factor in that is, you know, if you're 2 years away, then you sign your Supermax, so you're going to commit 7 years.
Correct.
So figure out where that wants to be.
Right. You know what? I think, no, with the opt-out, you opt out and you start all over again. You start all over again.
Yeah, so but you're going to spend the next 2 years somewhere, opt out, and sign a Supermax with them.
Correct. With that
team. You're going to spend the next 7 years with that team.
7 years
two
with
years,
Brooklyn.
Opt out, and then the next five. So with you better think about where you want to be.
7 years with Brooklyn. All right, we'll get into more of this. Plus, the NBA players are apparently pissed off at the terminology for the people who are apparently their bosses, the guys who own the teams. We'll get into that as well, coming up next right here on OMN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Can we take you back to LeBron James, The Shot? Okay, TV show, The Shot. Draymond Green is on. Snoop Dogg is on that show. And I think this is where the latest controversy with the NBA stems from.
The fact that they still call people with those teams owners, when does that change?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
If you pay your money and own the team, what should you be called?
Owner.
You want to be an owner one day, right? you want to be called the owner when you buy your team?
I own my own shit. I like that word.
when your product is purely the labor of people, then owner sounds like something that is of a feudal nature.
You shouldn't say owner.
I agree.
What do you think you should say, Dre? CEO or chairman. When you think of a basketball team.
Or you should say majority shareholder.
There you go.
Something like that. But when you think of a basketball team, like nobody don't think of the f***ing Golden State Warriors and like think of that damn bridge. Like they think of the players that make that team.
Which bridge? The bridge is on the front of your jersey?
Exactly. You don't even know what the f*** it's called. It's like,
So I don't get it. They started by basically they talked themselves into it.
Because it sounded like half of them were like, hell no.
Right.
I'm an owner.
Yes.
I own my stuff. I'm proud of being an owner.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Then it got switched to who was the one that was bringing up when it becomes dealing with people?
Oh, that was John Stewart.
Oh, God, token white guy.
They got the
token white guy.
The token white guy. Put the token white guy.
So here's the story, to get everybody all riled up, we should be against this.
And then they're like, no.
So here's the story. Two franchises have already done this. The NBA, dominated obviously by African American players, and predominantly controlled by white male owners. I'm reading the story from Newsweek. Now, some NBA franchises have considered dropping the term owner from their day-to-day vernacular, calling it insensitive. TMZ reported that multiple teams could join the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Clippers, both have done this, in softening the tone of the person's title who controls the business franchise. The term owner refers to the person who owns controlling interest more than 50% of the franchise or the majority shareholder. And obviously there are players in that league that feel it's a very insensitive term because there's a connotation of the plantation owner. How you can do that and see the two as the same is amazing to me. So let's try to separate the two. The plantation owner had total control over the slaves, right? And they had no ability to go anywhere.
They didn't
right?
get paid.
They didn't
paid
get paid.
$30 million a year.
No, they did not pay him $30 million.
They didn't get paid.
Did they have a
they
super?
They bought brand new planes, so these could each have their own row.
They didn't have Supermax contract. They didn't have opt outs. Okay, they had. There were no opt outs. The players playing for the so-called owners today, not only are getting contracts of over $200 million, we just told you about five-year deal that Kemba Walker can sign for $221 million, but they have opt-outs, they can go wherever they want. And by the way, it's a league right now, we're finding out, where the players can pretty much put their own teams together. I'm sorry, Danny Ainge. I love it here. I want to go now. I'm going to Brooklyn. I'm going to bring Durant with me. I'm going to bring Anthony Davis with me. I don't understand why they are worked up about this. And matter of fact, what I just heard, the majority shareholder, who are you holding on to? These players are not servants. This has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with slavery 150 years ago.
No.
But if that's what the players want,
that's what they'll get.
That's what they're
getting.
Get.
It's managing partner in Philadelphia now. Managing
Steve Ballmer out in L.A.
Manage, what's his title?
He is now listed as the chairman.
Chairman.
On the team's website.
Chairman. Shouldn't it be chairperson?
It really should.
It should. That is very insensitive.
I don't understand.
Chairperson sexist? Should be chairperson.
This guy got a problem?
He got a problem. Huh. Typical typical white male.
They should make him sell the team.
Absolutely. Typical white male. But they're making a big deal about this?
Of course they are. We live in a crazy world right now. I want to keep saying I don't get it. But eventually, this is just the way it's going to be. And I'm not surprised it's happening in the NBA. It would not happen in the NFL. Just you saw with the anthem. Different makeup, different personality, different ideals as far as philosophy with owners. And
wait.
You're saying wait?
No, I'm just saying because if they want them called CEOs, now you're going to get Liz Warren and the Native Americans.
Oh, that's right.
Why is it chief?
By the way, she's not a Native American.
And the Redskins changed their name yet? Have the Redskins changed their name yet? Have they changed their... Are they still the Redskins?
It. They're not changed.
That's kind of died off, hasn't it?
Yeah, only in the NFL, though. But Christian, you tell me, if the Redskins were an NBA team... Would
Gonzo.
That, absolutely.
Dunsky.
Absolutely. Dunsky.
It'd be gone.
It's the new word
but
of the
I'm
week.
Just saying, why is it the chief executive officer?
Oh.
I'm kind of offended by that.
Yeah, there you go. You can be offended by anything.
There's a lot of you know.
Why the word chief? What do you mean? You making fun of me? Because I'm Native American?
What are you trying to say?
It's slang.
Where's HR?
Huh? What are we doing here? Get your head out of your ass.
What are we doing here? So they're trying, what do you say, lessen the tone? Trying to try to remove the tone, the tone of, okay.
Well, the connotation of it being the slave owner.
Yeah.
We're not calling them masters, okay? I mean, we're calling them owners.
Yes,
And by the way, the players in the NBA today, most of them, unlike the previous generation of 20, 30, and 40 years ago, these guys own their own companies. Do they want people to change their title as owner of their own companies?
They will.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so how many of these players actually
don't change
own
it?
Restaurants, own just, you know, you name it. T-shirt companies, apartment complexes, other franchises. They're owners of. Are they going to change their name? Are they going to say, "Hey, I'm not an owner of the Smoothie King"?
No,
I'm not going to change it. I'm the managing smoothie expert guy.
So this thing sort of kind of caught fire the last couple of days.
Yep.
So Steven Jackson, right? What was he on? I know Jackie McMullen was there. He's on The Jump, and this topic came up. And he didn't agree with how some of the players.
People are looking too deep into the word owner.
Okay.
When Michael Jordan became an NBA owner, everybody was praising. We have a black owner in the NBA. I love the word owner. I own a company. And I love the fact that to tell my kids or people that didn't expect me to be where I'm at, to tell them that I own a company. So you work hard and you come and you bring something from the ground up, you deserve to be known as the owner of the person who's running that corporation. You can call them CEO, whatever. But the owner word, I love it because it's a title that you've given after you work hard to build something from the ground up, and to own something, it means a lot to me.
Michael Jordan is an owner right now of an NBA team. LeBron has come out, and he did on that episode of The Shop, came out and said he wants to own an NBA team. My guess is that the money that these players, present players, are making right now, a majority of them African-American, are going to be owners in the next generation. This is going to happen in the next 5, 10, 15 years. It is going to happen. They're making an awful lot of money, and they have the connections. They have the groups. You know why? Because they're involved in business. They're owning other businesses themselves. You didn't have this 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Do you think
those guys
if you
were
had,
basketball players?
Okay, so mostly, I mean, white owners, right? White guys.
It has been, yes.
Owner of the Clippers. Who's the other team?
Philadelphia 76ers.
Of course, right? Of course. If Michael Jordan owned a team outright, I know he doesn't own the majority of it.
But people call him an owner.
Do you would never hear him say that.
How about that, Wick Grosbeck?
Well, most titles are like that. Like, he's managing partner too, right?
Governor and CEO.
Yeah, I know, but you know who owns the team?
Yeah,
I mean, because, I feel like playing around with the words. But you think
that's what it is, Lou? Most of them have a title. First of all, somebody's got to be the governor. Somebody's got to be the chief executive officer, and they throw the managing partner line out there. But when people refer to him, they refer to him as the owner.
Yeah.
Now he's the majority owner because there are other people that are financially invested in that team. They do the same thing with John Henry. There are other people involved. But what do we when we refer to John Henry? We refer to him as the owner of the Boston Red Sox.
Sure.
They don't like this. Certain people now are really upset, and they don't like. So Draymond Green was the one that you heard that was most outraged by it. This is Mark Cuban talking, and he is not happy right now. And he says that Draymond Green should apologize to the NBA because team owners own equity and not people.
Wow,
quote, for him to try to turn it into something it's not is wrong. He owes the NBA an apology. I think he does because to try to create some connotation that owning equity in a company that you've busted your ass for is the equivalent of ownership in terms of people, that's just wrong. That's just wrong in every which way. People who read that message and misinterpret it make it seem like we don't do everything possible to help our players succeed and don't care about their families and don't care about their lives like hopefully we do for all of our employees. That's just wrong.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He's right.
Bravo.
He's right.
To draw the comparison of you said it, like they're not calling themselves masters. They're not using that, and you don't own the players. You own the team that those players play for, and they can come and go. And, oh, by the way, we're paying you, and we're actually trying to convince you, begging you to come play for us.
I don't see any way.
It's just too easy.
There's no way that anybody can make an argument to me that you're telling me that these guys in any way are treated like, I mean, it's embarrassing even saying it, like slaves. I mean, it's embarrassing, but that's the connotation. That's what Draymond Green is concerned with.
No, that was John Stewart creating that narrative.
Really.
That was John Stewart.
It seemed, my guilt, my white guy.
They shouldn't even do that, guys, right?
Play it again, Ryan, because it seemed to me like none of them really had a problem with the word owner.
When your product is purely the labor of people, then owner sounds like something that is of a feudal nature.
I got to play it from the beginning. Because what I'm saying is that the guys, for the most part, said, no, I own my stuff. I am an owner. Hell yeah, I'm an owner. Then here comes John Stewart, whatever the hell his name is.
John Stewart.
And he's like, wait a minute, guys. You know, because I'm the white guy here. I have my white guilt. I'm just letting you know that, you know, my fellow white owners are slaves. Slave
the fact
owners.
That they still call people with those teams owners, when does that change?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
If you pay your money and own the team, what should you be called?
Owner.
You want to be an owner one day, right? you want to be called the owner when you buy your team?
I own my own shit. I like that word.
All right, so hold on.
That's Snoop Dogg.
So right
he owns
now,
everything.
He's everybody's
lost.
On board.
Yeah.
With keeping the word owner.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Right now, everybody
we
is on
like
board.
It.
including Snoop.
Then the white guy steps
in. Now, here comes John Stewart.
The white guy.
The white guy that is like, you guys are wrong. You have no idea. Open your eyes.
You're being exploited.
Team, what should you be called?
Owner.
You want to be an owner one day, right? You want to be called the owner when you buy your team?
I own my own shit. I like that word.
When your product is purely the labor of people, then owner sounds like something that is of a feudal nature.
You shouldn't say owner.
Okay, yeah. Then Draymond jumps in. So that was an obvious. Okay, let's tee up Draymond
because
he's the
good.
Only one out of the group that thinks that you should not be called owner, right? And there is no direct correlation between the two at all. And John Stewart, it doesn't sound at all like that.
I like that word.
So wait. By the way,
the owner of the Golden State Warrior and their owners, the multiple owners of that team, are paying Draymond Green $18.5 million. And he's been great. He right now may be the leading candidate for finals MVP. But they're paying him $18.5
million.
More, too. And he has one more year. And then he becomes a free agent. He can go wherever he wants. The owner cannot control him. He can leave and go wherever he wants. But you're right. This is embarrassing that you get John Stewart who jumps into this thing. Hey, they're not treating you right. Hey, why am I doing it in my voice?
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. You guys, wait. You guys didn't hear me. The name owner is bad.
It's embarrassing.
You should be upset about this. You should be angry. They're exploiting you. They're taking advantage of their position. Yeah, but they're paying us. Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
And I understand. It's rude. And I understand why Mark Cuban is pissed off, because you read a lot of stuff about Mark Cuban, and he's emotional about his team, and he does some crazy stuff. But, man, he treats those players great. He was one of the first ones to go out and get a fitted plane and all sorts of additional stuff that they have on site and training facility and everything else. I mean, come on.
Well, Robert Kraft is listed as the chief executive officer of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, but they don't like it when you refer to them, when the public
sounds
refers
fancy
to them as owners.
Well, whenever I've seen any of these guys introduced on any sort of sports show, platform, whatever it is, ESPN, hey, the owner of the New England Patriots.
Exactly.
Hey, the owner of, unless they come up to you and say specifically, listen, I want you to call me the chief operator.
Within a couple years, you won't see it ever again.
You won't see it. No. Now, you're right, Lou. It's going to change.
You have to fight against it. Cuban makes sense. It makes sense. You can allow yourself to get pissed off at anything. Just say, listen, hey, you guys, you should be mad about this.
Yeah, but that's what people do now. People, instead of people sitting there saying, okay, I can understand how John Stewart is sitting there telling people that some people, maybe if they're not educated, maybe if they don't understand how much money NBA players are making and how much freedom they have with free agency and opt-out clauses, may look at this and say, you can't call him an owner because it too much is like what we were dealing with 150 years ago in this country when there were actually owners who owned people, all right? I can understand that some people might be that dumb on it. But the problem you have right now, Christian, is people are not going to fight it. People are going to sit there and say, we need to change. And I think if a majority of the people were involved, the majority of the people that were in the barbershop that day don't agree with
it. No, they don't.
I mean, LeBron James is sitting there going, damn, I want to be an owner.
Well, even the Washington Redskins, it was a small majority of
Native Americans.
No, not even Native Americans.
No, it was a small group of Native Americans that were fighting it.
Okay, but the majority of them, and you can sit there and go, wow, you can't trust Snyder, you can't trust the former Joe Theismann, you can't trust Chris Cooley, who went out all over the place tried to figure out if they were really upset about it, if the Native American community was really angered by this and wanted it removed. None of them said yes. None of them did. And then so it kind of just kind of lost steam. You don't even hear about it anymore. Other than every now and then a broadcaster saying, I'm not gonna say the word Redskins. I'm not going to do it.
But you wonder, a couple of years from now, you're going to go through a new collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, because I think we all agree that the NBA is controlled by the players. That's why this thing, to me, is hilarious. When you think about it, the players have all of the control of the NBA. I think as much as people love Adam Silver because he found a racist owner in the Clippers and he finally had the balls, which David Stern apparently did not, to remove this guy, which I'll give him credit for, but really, what has he done? He's handed over the NBA to the players. They control everything. But the NFL has not done that. But you're going to see changes in the NFL.
No, you won't.
Lou's right. In the next couple of years, you're going to see changes.
You're going to see. You know the only thing you're going to see, and I don't even know if we even get into this, is less preseason games. more regular. You're going to get rid of these preseason games. You'll have two of them because Roger Goodell says that you don't need four.
Well, of course, because people don't go to the preseason games anymore.
So then nobody goes to regular season games.
But that's a business. That's a business decision. That's got nothing to do with preparing a team.
Two extra regular season games than you do.
That's what they do.
So, yeah, no problem. No brainer.
Yeah. I people will have no problem.
The players will give up something crazy.
Right. Stupid.
They'll be like, you know what, whatever. As long as we can smoke weed, we'll play 20 games.
I know. That's all we really want. But camp will start July 1st.
But that's a business.
You'll be in camp July 1st.
But that's a business decision.
That's once every 2 weeks.
That's not a safety thing. That's not helping the players prepare for the season. That is a business.
I disagree with that, by the way.
Okay, 100%. We'll get into it. This hour has been brought to you by KM Hot Dogs, crafting the finest meats for four generations. We go to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. Our Hockey Insider, if you missed it earlier, breaking news on the Bruins. And we're going to go close to 30 minutes. It's commercial free now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.